Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. Today, Ben, we are going through the college football world, previewing all the big matchups coming up this weekend, both as fans of the sport and through keen scouting eyes, as we often do. Is it good?
Astute
also would have been a good word to use there.
Incisive.
But I went with keen, and I'm sticking by it.
Adjectives.
Bring some flavor to the words in this podcast. Ben, how you doing, my friend? I feel like I don't ask you that enough. How you doing, bud?
Trevor, well, no, I appreciate you asking. I'm sure you don't ask because the answer is invariably the same, which is everything is delicious.
I don't really care, but...
Right.
The fans,
right.
The fans kind of
pretend.
Right. You know, it's like you do that thing when you're either like shooting a movie or a TV show with somebody you can't stand. And you do like the fake laugh, and then the second they cut, you just go to hating their guts. You know.
Right. That's pretty much exactly how.
That's me and you. Yeah. The second I hit record, I'm just like, all right, I'm out of here. You bad, stupid person.
Wow, you got me. I'm devastated.
Nailed it.
Everything is delicious. Life is an utter joy. The world is a beautiful place. How are you?
That's wonderful. No, I'm doing great. Had some phone troubles recently, trying to like recover data on my phone because I'm switching my phone over. And boy, let me tell you, when technology doesn't work, you truly feel like it only doesn't work for you and you alone. And it is
so
frustrating. Wait.
Are you switching devices or switching networks, switching carriers?
No, I am switching devices.
Oh, okay. I had to switch carriers recently. And
what did you go to? From what to what?
I went from AT&T to Verizon.
Oh, you lucky son of a gun!
Predictably, AT&T was like, listen, if you want to leave our network, we're going to need the nuclear launch codes. And I was like, I'm at the nuclear launch codes. So you got to go find them. It was a huge process. But then, like, the guy, so when I switched it to the Verizon store, this is not what we're talking about today, but when I switched it to the Verizon store, the very kind representative, his name was Nick,
said, big shout out, Nick. All these steps, Nick, friend of the pod.
All these steps are done. You just have to get this last one thing from AT&T. And until you get it, you will not be able to receive incoming calls. And I was like, oh, it's a little prohibitive. He was like, yeah, but you should just call AT&T and then you give them this number, this, you know, PIN number to confirm that you're leaving the account, and then you can receive incoming calls. It took me like a week to do this. And so like Paige, Kyle, a lot of people we work with who call me very regularly would try to call me, and I just ghosted them for a week.
Dude, power move though. Power move.
Finally, like, stuffy and stood up. And that is not what was happening. I was just being held at gunpoint by AT&T.
No, it was a power move. No, you were strongholding them. I see what you're doing, you know.
Yeah, what can I say?
Leaving them on read?
There's nothing I love more than a power. And oh, look at me.
Thursday, power. We got some college football games. Georgia Southern at Southern Alabama. Battle of Southern teams. Ben would not know anything about that since it's south of Mason-Dixon line. And then we also have Temple at East Carolina. Ben, do either of these games intrigue you at all whatsoever?
Trevor, listen.
Always love it when you start the sentence. Okay, all right.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I wanted to lead up with that to get you going there and then just pull the rug out.
You know what the best part about this matchup?
Tennessee, this doesn't matter. What?
Best part about this matchup? South Alabama playing at Ladd Peoples Stadium. Shout out Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl.
Big ups, Jimbo, Mobile, Alabama.
Friend of the pod. Friday, moving on. That's all we needed to say about the Thursday night matchups. Friday, we got UCF at Cincinnati, then New Mexico at San Jose State. Obviously, UCF's the big one here. You've got Dylan Mack. You've got Gabriel Davis. And those two have a quarterback-wide receiver connection that not many other players have around the entire country. Ben, did you put Gabe Davis in your top 100 when we released our big boards earlier this week?
No, but I will say I
said— Coward!
I haven't seen enough of him yet. I'm not—
How many touchdowns do you need to see?
12. I don't know. I have seen him—
I think he might have 12.
I mean, he probably does. I've seen him obliquely. I have not sat down and fully evaluated him. So he very well could be a top 100 player for me eventually. I have not watched enough film of him. And that's because there are only so many hours in the day, Mr. Sycamore. I'm a busy man.
whatever. I just hear you're not doing your job. I had Davis at 51, I believe.
Oh, wow, wow.
He was wide receiver 7 for me.
So you think Gabriel Davis is better than Isaiah Hodgins?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Was it, though? Was it?
Yeah. It was a good time while it lasted.
Well, I'm just saying, for somebody who complains about not having enough hours in a day to watch a good prospect like Gabe Davis, Friday night, brother, 10 p.m. Eastern, UCF takes on Cincinnati, right there for you. Just on a silver platter. Yes.
This is an interesting game. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. This is an interesting game for me because, like, last year, Cincy UCF was supposed to be a thing, right? Like, it was going to be a tight matchup, and, you know, like, I think it was 2 unbeatens. Maybe one of them had dropped a stupid game to Temple, I think Cincinnati had. But it was going to be a tight one. Since he was 24, UCF was 11 in the country, and UCF trounced him, mm-hmm. 38-13, right? Now, I would say UCF is pretty much about the caliber program they were last year. There's no Mackenzie Milton, obviously, but they've clearly reloaded quite well. And Cincinnati has gotten measurably worse across the board, and it's a 4-point spread. Cincinnati is an underdog by 4. And I acknowledge that they're at home, but I think UCF's going to smack them around a little bit. So I've already put money down on this game. I got sent to Florida when it was -3. It's now -4. I think it's going to continue to grow. I think it's going to be -5.5, -6 by the time it closes.
Yeah, I said, I think Dylan Mack is their quarterback's name. That's the combination of their quarterback's names. It's Dylan Gabriel. But him going up against Desmond Ridder, who I kind of like. I kind
of
like flashes
of Gabriel Mack.
Correct. Yeah. Getting them confused. Yeah. I'm getting my stud UCF quarterback prospects confused. I don't know. Desmond Ridder can throw around the yard a little bit. So I understand why people think that this is maybe going to be closer than the blowout that it's actually going to be, but it's actually going to be a blowout. Like, UCF's going to win by multiple scores, I think, at least. Yeah, Gabe Davis, Michael Warren II, Desmond Ridder, and, Dylan Gabriel's not a prospect yet because he's only a true freshman, which is incredible, but those are the guys we're looking at here. On to the Saturday slate. LSU plays at noon. Oklahoma plays at noon. Wisconsin plays at noon. Penn State plays at noon. Oklahoma State plays at noon. There may not be some great, Iowa plays Michigan, but please, just don't make me watch a Michigan game again this year, please.
I don't want to do it. The best game is Iowa, Michigan. How sad.
Hey, I got a question for you, pal.
Okay, this seems angry.
AJ Epenesa, tell me about him.
Are you going to pull an Anthony Nelson right now?
No.
Okay.
Buccaneer great Anthony Nelson is not what we're talking about here.
Okay. AJ Epenesa is a highly refined, athletically gifted NFL draft prospect who should be a top 5 prospect on every single board.
Mm-hmm.
Epenesa was originally my player 1 coming into the year. Chase Young
and then
my
what happened?
2.
And then what happened?
Chase Young is now my player 1. AJ Epenesa is my player 3 and is edge 2.
Okay.
Epenesa,
mm-hmm.
while he does not fit the current preferred mold of edge rusher in the league.
Here we go.
Which is far much more so.
Here we go.
Shaq Barrett, your Brian Burns, so on and so forth. Well, this is the same thing you could say about Nick Bosa last year to an extent. Epenesa wins with power through tackles. He wins with inside counters. He still has great bend. He still has a good initial first step. He's got a tremendous athlete, really nice hands up the arc. He just is 275. So he's not winning as a stand-up 9 technique sort of a guy, which is how, you know, kind of is preferred by the league right now. And so Epenesa is going to be a guy who you're going to kick inside situationally. And he's going to be guards one-on-one, and that's how he's going to get his quick pressures. When he rushes from the outside, it's going to be through tackles, and those rushes don't as frequently finish in sacks because you're literally going through the tackle. But he's still – I mean, people don't realize, because Epenesa is a big body, as an athlete, this dude is out of this world. The leverage, flexibility, hip explosiveness with which he plays, especially at his size, is first round lock without watching a second of tape. That physical tool and that length, that size, that strength of a body.
Benjamin Solak says live on the podcast, tape doesn't matter.
Don't watch tape.
Do not watch tape.
As I've often said, tape doesn't matter and is not part of a player's evaluation.
You realize that I'm going to clip that part for what we promo on the podcast, right?
Right, because I was the second I was saying it, I was like, I forgot that we're clipping parts of the podcast. the big prospect moment here, which we must discourse about.
Yes.
Utah State is at LSU.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I was going to ask you a question about Epenesa.
You did. You said, tell me about Epenesa.
No, I know, but I had another one. I had a follow-up.
Okay.
I'm using my other question token. Epenesa or Rashawn Gary?
That's not even remotely near a question. It's Epenesa.
Okay. All right. No, I figured that would be your answer. I just wanted it to be said out loud for the people.
I'm going to triple check this before I say it.
Okay.
But I'm 95% sure that on 30% of the snaps.
There's way too much math going on at this point.
Okay. Yes.
Triple check, 90%, 30%.
Okay, this is not a obviously like, you know, hard, steadfast way of evaluating prospects. Rashawn Gary's career high in sacks was 5.5 across 13 games in 2017. That was as a sophomore.
Correct.
Right? He started. AJ Epenesa is a sophomore, played 35-40% of the snaps, had 10.5 sacks.
Right.
Do you have any questions?
No.
You can't use all your question tokens.
Okay.
Utah State LSU. So, in Baton Rouge.
Seamless.
In Death Valley,
seamless there, Ben.
Yes, thank you. Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State, is playing what will be the best defense he plays in his college career after he declares this year.
Shooting your shot there a little bit.
Tony Pauline of Pro Football Network, who's been an NFL draft insider for a while now, tweeted out today that he is hearing Roto-World shared a Matt Miller blurb, which was that Tagovailoa is separating from the quarterback class. Tony quote tweeted it and said, as you'll see in tomorrow morning's mailbag at PFN, I'm hearing differently as there's a large portion of scouts at this point who believe Utah State's Jordan Love could well be the first quarterback selected if he enters the draft.
This is a classic case of let's calm the F down. Okay, this is a classic draft Twitter case, and I understand it's not happening in draft Twitter, but where you go, it's this game of telephone where you just go like, yeah, no, like I'm really in the summer. You're like, hey, look out for this Jordan Love guy, big player, has the ideal size, got a little bit of mobility to him, real big arm, has some nice accuracy, can really zip the ball in between some tight windows. There's a lot to like about him. You know, like I like him as a sleeper kind of coming into the season. And then somebody hears that, and then they watch him and go, yeah, man, I think Jordan Love's really good. I mean, like, he might be a top five quarterback in this class. And then somebody hears that and goes, and then they watch him and go, wow, you know, a couple of these throws, man, he might be QB3 right behind Herbert and Tagovailoa. And then somebody else hears that, and they go, you know what? I bet this guy could go number one overall. I wouldn't even be shocked. And then I'm just sitting here at the back of the line like, how did we get here? How did we get here? Jordan Love is a nice prospect. Please let us enjoy him as that. Don't make me hate you people.
Wow. Okay. So number one, don't make Trevor hate you. But number two,
I think that's always a universal lesson.
Yeah. What I always try to remember is this, and maybe I'm a bad person, but if the shoe were on the other foot and I were a scout, and I had media members asking me for things. I'm not saying this is what happened thing with Tony. It could be, or this was happening with Matt, who obviously had the conflicting report with Tua, whatever. But if I were a scout and I had media members asking for things, I 110% would fire off the hip with takes. I would. I already do it now, and nobody listens to me, right?
Hey, people listen to this podcast.
Okay, true. But what I'm saying is, like, I guess I do have a captive audience. We have a podcast. But, like, you know, if I had media members...
You're digging a hole here. What do you think of our listeners at this point, man?
I don't care for them at all. It's the point of, like, if I know that if me saying something, which has no consequence to me, will get published and people get all a kerfuffle about it, I, because I'm a bit of a mischievous little imp, would 100%, you know, okay, there's right now, what, 2% chance Jordan Love is the first quarterback selected? Tua decides not to come out. Herbert struggles against Pac-12. Love is a great Senior Bowl. Boom. Love's first quarterback drafted. Yeah, might as well fire that off the hip. Who cares? It's September. It doesn't matter. So we I think the fallacy that we often feel as we read these inside reports is that we assume that these scouts in September care a lot about being accurate, and I just really don't think they do.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
No, that is. And that's a really good nooner to watch because you're right. This is a really important test for Jordan Love. He struggled against, what was it, Colorado State? So going into Death Valley at Tiger Stadium, oh boy, we're going to figure out what kind of quarterback he is. I know he lost a lot of weapons from the last couple of years, and so it hasn't exactly been easy for him to produce in the offense that he's been given, and so a lot of people are going to kind of like write it off. But I still need you to perform well, right? I want you to still be the leader and the guy who steps up a little bit. Even if you struggle, you can do that if your team is clearly inferior, which I think is the case with Utah State going up against a top five team in the country at their place. But let's put it on him a little bit, you know? Make some throws. Challenge some of these good DBs. They got some good DBs at LSU, man. And I would love to see Jordan Love put a couple of throws on him to where those cornerbacks go, how the hell did he put that ball by me? Love to see that because I think he's capable of it. And if we're talking about Jordan Love in this kind of regard, like, hey, potential QB1, which I think is kind of crazy, but just as a first-round quarterback in general, let's see some throws, Jordan. Let's do it.
Right, and that's the thing is I don't need you to beat LSU. And I acknowledge that your wide receivers are not going to beat LSU's guys one-on-one for four quarters consistently. Mm-hmm. You don't have the talent to pull it off. Love has made some really, really bad decisions under pressure, pushing and trying to generate plays that aren't there. Play under control against a good team and do not give them short fields, easy turnovers, easy pass breakups. Let's play mistake-free football. Let's play mature football against a very high-quality college football defense. That's all I want to see. Play under control for Jordan Love. He hasn't done it yet this year. Do it against LSU. I'll pay attention.
Any other nooners that we got to talk about? Maryland's probably going to put up another stinker. God.
Against Rutgers.
Cursed.
Nah.
No, you know what I'm calling it? Anthony McFarland, 200 yards. 200 yards!
Where would you put him in your running back rankings?
I think I still have him number 5.
Healthy. Above Chuba?
Yeah, let me look. Because, I mean, like, if McFarland's on Oklahoma State, I think they're doing similar stuff. Not to, like, take anything away from what Chuba's doing because it's been incredible. So I don't want to say, like, he'd have exactly those numbers. That would be unfair. Right. But I do think, like...
You and I are going to follow Chuba versus McFarland, like, all the way through this draft cycle. It looks to me they both come out. Obviously, both underclassmen. But, like, Chuba was my dude.
Oh, no, I do have... I have Chuba at 4. I have McFarland at 5.
Well, Chuba was my dude of the preseason running backs. McFarland was your dude of the preseason running backs. They both have great starts to the season. Hopefully, they just continue to kill it. They continue to declare, and then we get to the combine, and we just get to watch these guys prosper, as is always the case for friends of the podcast.
Of course.
Locked On NFL Draft.
But, of course, 330 games.
Yes.
Rub my hands together. Hopefully, you guys can hear that.
I wonder which game you're about to talk about.
I'm going
to
be at the Florida-Auburn game. Let's go.
And this has got to be the most expensive game of the week, right?
This is, I mean, you're getting ahead of yourself here with the segments, but, you know, just for you, Ben, I'll let you know.
The rigid structure of our show.
What are we without structure, Ben? Anarchists. Killers.
You know you're going to lose by multiple scores, right?
Yeah, there's a chance that Florida could lose by multiple scores here because, and you know, it being at Florida, it's a big-time game. Anything could happen, but there's no way around it. Auburn is better in both trenches. So anytime that is the case, usually doesn't bode well for the other team, and that would be Florida. So Florida's offensive line has been soft as baby poop for the first 5 weeks of the season. So that's not going to end well. They do get Jabari Zuniga back. They obviously have John Grenard on the other side. That'll be a really interesting matchup going up against Auburn's tackles. That's probably the big scouting matchup that I'm looking for there. But, oh, man, I'm worried. As obviously a Florida fan, I'm really worried that that Auburn defensive line with Davidson and Brown and Big Cat Bryant, like, I'm afraid that they're just going to eat him alive. So very possible that, yes, they lose by double digits. Certainly hoping that that doesn't happen.
From a handicapping perspective, this line is probably just going to sit around. Right now, Auburn's favored by 3. This line is probably going to continue to just sit around 3 all week long.
Yeah,
so probably. If you want to bet Florida, wait till he gets to Florida by 3.5 and then bet it. And if you want to get Auburn, wait until he gets Auburn 2.5 and then bet it. Mm-hmm. And just try to win off that field goal. I would love to see Florida make this a game. I think Bo Nix is flappable.
I mean, I don't think Bo Nix is that good.
Yeah, that's my thing. But yeah. The thing is, like, there. So you say, all right, well, then you get pressure on it. But I would argue that that's step two. Step one is you have to be able to take away the screen game that Auburn runs
right,
for their
right,
weapons on the outside.
Right. Yeah.
Because you can't pressure Nix if Nix can just either sprint out and throw the flat or can just throw the screen game.
Listen,
and
man, so this
first,
will
– you need to be asking those safeties and those corners to rally up and tackle. And then you force Nix to stay in the pocket longer, and that's when you get pressure on him. That's when you force him into mistakes.
Pretty sure C.J. Henderson's back for this game, and this will be a great test for C.J. Henderson to prove if he wants to tackle or not. Because Auburn 100% watched the film on C.J. Henderson and went, that dude has no desire to tackle at any point. And if I've told when I kept C.J. out of the first round of my initial mock draft, a lot of Florida fans were like, how could you keep CJ out? He's clearly a first-round pick. And I'm like, guys, if he gives me that kind of physical effort, and this is right after the Miami game, in these other games, he can't be a first-round pick. You can't pick this guy in the top 32. You just can't. He's too much of a liability. That's going to be a major tipping point in this game is, yeah, like you said, Auburn and Malzahn loves to do the quick-hitting stuff. They love to do the screens, the jet sweeps, the quick little drag routes, the crossing mesh stuff. Like, he'll do whatever he can to get that ball out of Nix's hands real quick and into playmaker's hands and make you tackle. There are some safeties that Florida has that can tackle, but I don't know about their corners. So that's a big one, too. And they're two draft-eligible guys, C.J. Henderson and then Marco Wilson on the other side. And
right.
A lot of them were touted pretty highly, but shoot, you got to be physical, especially if you want to play in the NFL, let alone win this game.
Now, I brought up pass rush, but the matchup that I think you got to be watching is when you get Jonathan Grenard. I do not know how that last name is pronounced.
Grenard.
You got two not only draft-worthy tackles, but to me, top five tackles in the class. In Prince Tegelmanogo.
He can play.
On the left. And then Jack Driscoll, who can also like play. And just, you know, he's a grad transfer from UMass. Nobody knows him, but he's legit good. He's legit good, Trevor. Those are the two bookends for Auburn. Both are draftable. I think both are going to be strong, high-caliber prospects in the offensive tackle class this upcoming year. Grenard?
Yes.
He's been hot. He's been Draft Network SEC Defensive Player of the Week 2 weeks now in the first 5 weeks.
Yeah, he's good. He's good, man.
This is... Okay, heat check. It doesn't get more heat check than this. You know, we got to see what's really in the tank for Grenard here. This is a huge matchup for Zuniga. You don't really get as many traditional edge rushes that kick them inside. So Grenard is the player to watch against the tackles.
I think you'll get plenty of Zuniga against those guys, though. I think you'll
get
a good amount of snaps.
Long and late downs.
Yeah.
On long and late downs, they move
they'll
inside.
They'll let them loose.
Yeah.
Trying to think of it before we head on to the night games. I'm looking. I mean, Texas plays West Virginia, but West Virginia ain't good, right? I don't think West Virginia's good.
No.
Wow, West Virginia is 3-1, brother.
Yeah. They beat James Madison by 7.
Okay. All right. Good win. Strong win.
Right. They got, what, mollywopped by Mizzou, and then they beat Kansas.
It's an SEC team, you know.
They beat NC State, and then they beat Kansas. They beat Kansas by what, like 3?
I have no idea.
They beat Kansas by 5.
Northwestern plays Nebraska in the matchup of the N logos, and I think loser has to pick a new logo.
Yep. I've honestly been thinking about this. Don't make the logo a letter. That's my take. Come up with, I don't know, anything else. Name one entertaining team that has a letter logo besides the University of Alabama.
Green Bay Packers.
This it was on college football.
Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay, and then like also like Oklahoma, I guess. Okay, I haven't thought about it that much.
Oregon Ducks.
My point here being
Washington Huskies.
No.
Stanford Cardinal.
Definitely not. Okay, now you're fully reaching.
Michigan.
Some like I would argue the Auburn logo, the OU logo.
Just gonna gloss over Michigan.
Cool. Right, but that's the thing. It's like Wisconsin, Michigan, Northwestern, Nebraska, UNC, Ohio State, which is the letter and the words. Hot take.
Strong take. Georgia plays Tennessee. God, it's going to be a bloodbath. Holy cow.
Yep.
And Tennessee's How coming off the bye week.
We've actually never really talked about this on the podcast, but like, how good is Georgia? Like, what's your AP top five? Like, what's your top five in college football right now?
Hold on. I'm going to make sure that I don't forget anybody, so I'm pulling up a top 25. My top 25 would be Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and then Oklahoma or Georgia. Probably Georgia. I'd probably put Georgia at five.
So you have Georgia at five, right? That's the thing. It's like right now I can tell you with certainty that Alabama and Ohio State are my top two. Yeah. After that, kill me.
LSU's three, Clemson's four, Georgia's five. That's what I would say.
That's the thing. It's like, I think this Georgia football team is very, very, very good and also not in the college football playoff right now, which is like bananas. But LSU taking a big step up this year, and Ohio State not taking like a big step up, but like Ohio State and LSU, we were pretty quickly able to remove them from contention last year. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about Auburn, who's undefeated number seven, about to get a win over a top 10 ranked team in Florida.
Excuse you.
Yeah, now obviously we don't
calm the hell
Auburn
down
because of Bo Nix as compared to the quarterback situation for these other six teams.
Right.
But still, it's a really, really thick and exciting top class right now, which is fun. These teams are going to start losing at some point, but for right now, like, we have six teams that look wonderfully legit.
I mean, are they going to start losing at some point? Alabama ain't going to lose. Clemson ain't going
to
lose.
Clemson's
not going to lose. Clemson's not going to lose. That was their scare. That was their game to lose. I don't think Clemson's going to lose. Their schedule is way too easy.
I think the fact that Clemson nearly lost to UNC proves that we don't really know. You know,
I'm with you, but the ACC's terrible, dude.
Okay, yeah, I hear you. But like,
no, I don't think you do.
The ACC was terrible when they lost to Pitt 2 years ago. The ACC was terrible when
they lost Pitt
to Pitt
just took down UCF. So Pitt can do anything.
Yes, the super weapon.
I know.
So that's my point, is that like, yeah, no, they shouldn't lose. Oklahoma, like, okay, besides if they beat Texas, they shouldn't lose. But it's the Big 12. This is what they do. Kansas State comes out, and all of a sudden it's 13-14 in the fourth quarter. Like, it's just, you know, this is what college football is. So I don't think we can say they're all not going to lose.
This could be the big year, Ben, that we get a serious, like an actual serious argument for eight teams.
Listen, I think we've had actual serious arguments for eight teams
at
the beginning.
I think that we have. And you've been able to use it, but I genuinely think that, like, teams, just because you would want to see the top eight teams kind of get in and play each other, didn't mean that, I don't know if they were exactly worthy. I'm thinking that this year we might have, like, number seven make a good case to be, like, number three or four in the country. And I don't think it was that strong in years past. I think we have a chance for it to be real strong, especially if these SEC teams all beat each other up, but not like a ton. They're all going to stay in the top 10 still. What, are you going to keep all of them out? Because that's ridiculous. So
it's going to be a fun year at the top.
Could be a very fun year at the top.
Anyway, that's my thought on Georgia. It's just, I like Georgia a lot, and also maybe they're five in the country. So anyway, have fun killing Tennessee.
All right. Ohio State, Michigan State, anything? Brian Lewerke.
Here's my thing. It's like,
gonna
last
do
year,
it
would have been like,
do it for the people.
One of those games that Ohio State's going to lose for some stupid reason. They seem different this year. And how long the momentum goes, how long it goes. I have no faith in Michigan State whatsoever. I know the Arizona State game is kind of getting outlined. It's getting highlighted as a wake-up call game. But they really don't have a quality win on their roster right now. Northwestern is a very bad football team this year. Western Michigan.
Hey, man, really, they play hard.
Not good. They beat Indiana by nine. Not really. They beat Indiana by three. And even then, you know, they were tight with Indiana. So I don't think that this is as legit of a team as we hoped it would be coming into the season. I really like Michigan State's projection coming into the season. I think that they're going to lose to Ohio State in a big way. So this is, like,
yeah.
I know I just said, like, these teams are going to start losing, but
yeah.
I would not circle Michigan State as the game where it happens.
No Hawaii this week, so we're not going to talk about them as a nightcap game, but we will talk about Cal Oregon. Ben, I know that Cal slipped up to Arizona State last week, and you kind of called it. You thought that they'd be peeking ahead to this one at Oregon, at Eugene. Ugh. We almost had Cal be the darlings of the Pac-12, make this game a really interesting one. I guess it still will be. It just could have had a lot more meaning if Cal wouldn't have slipped up last week. What are you looking forward to in this matchup here?
Well, it's very disappointing because I really think that Cal could have given Oregon a good pace. And then Chase Garbers went down with the injury against Arizona State. And now it's Devin Monster, who was the UCLA transfer after Chip Kelly moved into the building. Monster is a good runner. He's not nearly the arm talent that Garbers has. Can't maximize those receivers at all. And Oregon's going to be able to keep that running game relatively bottled up. Cal doesn't have tremendous talent at running back either, so that also saps away from the running game as well. There's no reason for Oregon, who's got an experienced secondary, Thomas Graham, Diamondre Lenoir, like these corners who we think are draftable caliber players, there's no reason for them not to just go straight man-on-man, lock up the Cal receivers and load the box and ask Monster to throw it on them. I don't think Monster's going to be able to do so. So accordingly, this game has lost the luster that I had for it a week ago. That Cal defense still real tough. I think it's going to be a fun game for Justin Herbert in terms of watching what he looks like. Herbert had quite a statement game against the Cal defense last year. He played very well in Cal. Now it's home in Eugene. So we'll see what Herbert looks like against one of the best pass defenses in the country. But to me, the competitiveness here is a little bit lost because of the Garbers injury. It's a disappointing thing.
Yeah, I was hoping that your sentence was going to last a little bit longer than that so I could finish looking up these stats before I could come to you at this point. And okay, I got it. Tua Tagovailoa, okay?
Yeah.
His stats read 76 completion percentage, 1,700 yards,
all right,
23 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Okay.
That's I would say that's above average.
Justin Herbert does not have NFL receivers already to throw to. I'm just saying. He's got a 75% completion percentage, 1,100 yards, 14 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So, has not been a lot of Herbert talk this year, and that's why I bring that up. I feel like people have not been really talking about Justin Herbert at all.
Well, the thing is, he had the game against Auburn, which was good, save for, the last two drives, and then they lost.
Right.
So, there was that. And then since then, it's been murder Nevada to death, murder Montana to death, murder Stanford to death by week. So, there's not much.
I'm hoping we get a really good Justin Herbert this week. I haven't been really putting Justin Herbert under the microscope for his couple matchups since Auburn. This is the one I'm tuning into. This one,
right.
This one I gotta watch.
They just haven't had a feature spot in terms of a TV spot. This is 8 p.m. on Fox. There's gonna be a lot more eyes, I think, on Herbert than there were when he was playing a really bad Stanford team. You know what I mean? This is where it is, and that's why, like I said, it's disappointing because I think the competitiveness would have been more there if Garbers were playing. But the Pac-12 slate that they have is good. They're going to get Washington and Washington State in October as well. Both of those games should be relatively competitive. So we're going to get Herbert run. It's going to come. There's a bit of an eight play nobody sensation going on here.
Might not be the top 25 matchups that the TV guys can pump up in the ratings, but a lot of really interesting scouting matchups that we went over this week and that I'm looking forward to watching this weekend. So that's all for college football this week. I mean, we'll probably talk a little bit of college football, especially on Fan Friday, if you guys ask us about that. But before we get to that, we have NFL lines coming up tomorrow on Thursday before the Fan Friday pod. I'm not sure whether or not we're going to do a theme for Fan Friday again. Did you guys like that? You got to let me know, because that was kind of just out of nowhere. I did that for fun, made a theme of the podcast because we've been going kind of off the rails, whatever, ask whatever you want, kind of a thing for so long. Did you like the theme? Hit me up on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey or at Benjamin Solak, and let us know if you like that. Because if you did, we'll come up with another topic or a theme. If you didn't, maybe we'll just make it Wild Wild West again. Ben, before we get out of here, you got to tell people about some merchandise, correct?
I do, and I forgot to do it at the beginning. Yeah. I'm a bad employee. Hey, the Draft Network store is open, and you should go to it. The Draft Network, football's 33rd front office, bringing you the best NFL draft coverage there is. The people have been asking, we have been listening, and now we are delivering. The Draft Network store is open for pre-launch right now, limited time, on the draft day, everyday dry fit shirt now. So you go to thedraftnetwork.store. That is thedraftnetwork.store. Check out for the limited time shirt. The promo code is TDN20. TDN20 gets you $5 off the shirt. Again, it's a limited time offer. It's just for this week for the pre-launch. And then as we expand the merchandise, it won't be there anymore. So TDN20, the Draft Network store, draft day, everyday shirt. Go ahead and get your merch.
NFL tomorrow, Fan Friday the next day, and then a whole lot of football to watch coming up this weekend. Until all that, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.